You would open your Bibles again to that passage there in Deuteronomy 6, the Pastor Cole. It's really good to see everyone. And some of you, I mean, you just sometimes you'll just leave and I'll get a chance to say hi to you. But I wanted to say hi to Don and Terry. Good to see you guys. We went to college with Terry years ago. We were in Grand Rapids this week, and I guess the older you get a little bit more sentimental and seeing people you hadn't seen for decades, and so it's really good to see you all here this morning, and I hope you'll stick around, be at the picnic, and we'll get a good chance to fellowship together. Just real quick, not any less important, but we do need to pray, so let's ask God. Father, thank you again for the word, and Father, again, just we need to hear from you again this morning, and we just would pray that your spirit would take the word of God and open it to our hearts that we might be transformed into the very image of Jesus. And we ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, tomorrow, as we've already mentioned, you know, we celebrate our independence as a nation 246 years ago. On July 4th, 1776, our nation declared itself to be an independent and free nation. 56 men signed that declaration. Interesting side note, not all of them signed them on July the 4th. But eventually, 56 men signed that document about their intentions and their willingness to pay whatever price that was necessary to be a free and independent people. We've already mentioned it. It's been nothing short of a miraculous miracle that what has transpired since that time. Without question, God has shed His grace on our nation. Nearly 70% of the people living in the world today do not have the freedom to do what you and I are in the process and what we have been doing for the last half hour, and that is freedom of religion. According to Pew Research, 70% of the world's 6.8 billion people live in countries with high restrictions on religion. Today, more than a billion people live and die in desperate poverty. They attempt to survive on less than a dollar a day. Close to 2 billion others live on less than $2 per day. Nearly half the world struggles today to find food, water, and shelter with the same amount of money that we spend on French fries at McDonald's. You and I have seen the pictures of what is going on at the southern border, and people willing to do whatever to experience a taste of the freedom and the prosperity of our country. Truly, we have been blessed as a nation. God has shed His grace on our land. Thomas Jefferson wrote many, many years ago, "My God, how little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they are in possession of, and on which no other people on earth enjoy." But here's the problem. A nation that is blessed by God can forget the God who blessed them. And that is the warning that we will see this morning here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Pastor Cole read, and a little bit later in chapter 8. I think all of us this morning, it's not debatable, and with saddened hearts, would agree that this is what is unfolding right before our eyes in our nation this morning. A nation that has been blessed by God, choosing to forget the God who blessed us. We are a nation blessed by God, but has forgotten its blesser. Well, how does this happen? How does a nation forget God? And we need this morning to, as we said, look here in Deuteronomy 6 and 8, and just to see how, as God gave warning through Moses to the nation of Israel, how a nation goes down that path from prosperity and blessing and grace to judgment. But as we consider this morning how nations forget God, I want us to see this morning that these same principles are applicable to us as individuals as well. It is possible for born-again believers in Jesus Christ who have been richly blessed by God in the heavenly places to forget God. It is possible for born-again believers in Christ to fall in love with the gifts and forget the giver. And so the truths that God gave Moses to pass on to the nation of Israel are applicable to us as individuals this morning as well. And we want to look this morning at four ways that nations and individuals forget God. And if you're taking notes, I believe it starts by forgetting God's past work of salvation. Do you remember what God did at the Red Sea? Do you remember that whole scenario? The nation was in bondage. The nation of Israel were slaves. I mean, we see tyranny rising up all around us today, around the globe. But this was tyranny with a capital T. Egypt was very insecure because all of the Israelites that had settled there were growing. The nation was very populous, and so you remember the story. You remember how that they were concerned that as this nation grew, that if an enemy came against Egypt, that this nation Israel would rise up with the enemy and join the enemy and attack Israel. And so they had to do something. They had to do some, what's the word I'm looking for? They tried to stunt the population growth, and so every little male boy that was born was to be killed. And you remember how God spared those little babies by the midwives not following that tyranny. And then you remember how God came to Moses and said, I'm going to deliver you out of the land. And you remember that just ticked off Pharaoh to the point that he made their labor even harder and didn't give them straw for their bricks, and was hoping by the hard labor that would slow down the growth, the population growth, and all of that. And they're living in just all of the oppression of this nation of Israel. And then God in His goodness, God delivers them. And you remember how God delivered them? He delivered them through the Red Sea. He literally walled up the sea. I had a fellow in one of my churches. He's long been with the Lord. Another guy I'm going to introduce you to in heaven. His name was Ted Edwards, and Ted was the only time he wasn't in bib overalls was when he came to church, and Ted would just smile with the biggest grin, and I think he was missing a few front teeth, and he was, Dan, I just can't get over. They walked on dry ground. Think about that. 2 million people walking on dry ground as God delivers this nation from the tyranny and the oppression that they were in. Well, you know what happened. You know the story of Israel. You know how they were free. Exodus 15 is that great song of deliverance. But it wasn't too much longer in which they're in the wilderness, and they're not obeying God, and so 40 years they wander because of the consequence of their sin. But one of the things I don't think we'll ever understand fully, completely, even in heaven, is the loving kindness and the mercy of God, who is slow to anger. And so despite the great deliverance, now, despite their rebellion of wandering and the consequence of wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, what is God going to do? Read it with me, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, take care lest you what? Forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God is now going to once again pour out His blessing upon them. He's going to give them fully developed cities with all of the infrastructure in place, with an abundance of water. Water was a precious commodity as it is today. And they weren't going to have to go looking for water. They weren't going to have to experience the hard work of digging wells or cistern. God was just going to give them the wells. God was going to give them the cisterns, it says there, that you did not dig. God was going to give them a land that had already been cleared, fields that had already been planted, and were just waiting for someone to come in and harvest grain, wheat, and barley, and fruit, and grapes, figs, pomegranates, and oil it talks about, and trees and honey, and it was just all going to be right there. And they were going to walk into these fully developed cities, beautiful homes, fully furnished, no shortage of food, rich in precious minerals. Two are mentioned here, iron and copper. You want to talk about God pouring out and shedding His grace upon a people. This is what God was going to do. God had miraculously delivered them and saved them. And God says, now I'm going to back up the truck, if you like, and I'm going to pour out, I'm going to dump out on you all of these material blessings. But again, don't forget verse 12. But there's one thing you need to take note of, and it's what? Don't take care lest you what? Forget me. And you know what? They did. They got so enamored with the gifts that they forgot the giver, like a child surrounded by gifts on the birthday or Christmas celebration, and that little child just unwrapping gifts and papers just all over the place, and they have no clue who gave that little gift to them. They don't run to that person, grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle or brother or sister, and say thank you. They're just, that is what Israel was in the process of doing. They forgot God. They had forgot the blessings. They had forgot the works of God in their life. Now, I want to make it really clear, and this needs to be said, the United States of America is not Israel. And be very cautious if you ever hear anybody make that connection. But our nation has a rich history of God's providence in the formation of the nation and the sustaining of our nation up until this point in time in history. And by the way, this is what is behind cancel culture today. What cancel culture really is all about in our nation is to try to erase the providential hand and blessing of God on this land. We live in a nation that was established under God. God is everywhere, it seems, in our nation. It's in currency. It's in our Pledge of Allegiance. It's in our national anthem. Some of you had the privilege of going to Washington, D.C., I know, this year. Some of you, I know, are going to go later this summer. You will see God everywhere in the inscriptions around that place. It is everywhere, but it is lacking in the hearts of our people. Because slowly over time, our nation has forgotten God and His grace in birthing this great nation. Alistair Begg said it well. Most of the time, the affluent West is having a party and using all the gifts God has showered upon us to ignore Him or mock His commands. It was Ronald Reagan who said, if we ever cease to be a nation under God, we will be a nation gone under. And years ago, there was a guy by the name of Abraham Lincoln, to which, by the way, if you've read this last week, in a major university here in the United States, one of the statues, I think it was a bust of Lincoln, was removed from that university. But old Abe was right. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. But it's not just nations that can forget God, it's individuals. And it's us, born-again believers in Christ. People who have been rescued from the chains and the slavery of sin. People, as we said a few weeks ago, who weren't just drowning in sin, but people who were at the bottom of the ocean, dead in our trespasses and sin. And God came in His mercy and His love and His sovereignty and in His grace. He rescued us. Our whole lives we were under the chains of slavery of Satan. And as God walled up the waters of the Red Sea, God miraculously birthed us into His kingdom and set us free and adopted us into His family. We were living under the wrath and the condemnation and just a millisecond away from the hell. God, in His grace, rescued us from danger. But not only been rescued from the danger of hell and the condemnation of the wrath of God, He has set us free and He has given us life and He has given us everything we need in life and godliness, and He has placed His very own Spirit inside of us. And He has given us an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and won't fade away and reserved in heaven. And God pours out upon, because of His mercies, look, we didn't pass away last night. Because of His mercies, we are here. Every day, His mercies are new in our lives. We've been granted deliverance and blessing upon blessing upon blessing in the heavenly places. And yet, our hobbies, our sports, our pursuit of comfort and entertainment so fill up our time, energy, that our passion and pursuit of Jesus as our greatest treasure is waning and is at minimal, at best, in the lives of some believers. We know our nation collectively has forgotten God. But how about you this morning? Where does it start? It starts by forgetting the miraculous work of salvation in your life and the riches of His blessing in your life. It's the young lady who just received what her whole life she had dreamed about. She received her ring. Her boyfriend, her fiancé now, has given her that ring, and that big old diamond is just sparkling, and she walks around in some way to show off that diamond. And she sits at there when she's alone, and she looks at the glow and the brilliance of that stone, and she just wonders to herself and is in amazement. She's going to get married. I'm going to get married. And the thought of that and the beauty of that stone just enthralls her whole heart. Have you lost that in your life? Have you lost that love, that wonder, that amazement, that awe that you are free? Indeed, you have been set free from the bondage of sin. You have Christ. You are in Christ. You are His. This is where it starts, when our love wanes towards Him. Well, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you would like. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. And again, we have this refrain, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, Then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Go down with me to verse 17. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. What's Moses warning about? He's warning them concerning the possibility that they could get so intoxicated by the blessings that God had poured out upon them that they would forget God and then come to the conclusion that it was because of their strength and of their power that they were experiencing all of these blessings. In essence, what they were, the possibility, Moses is warning them, is that they might begin to believe lies instead of God's word. Well, as we mentioned, what are some of those lies? The lie that they are self-sufficient, the lie that they can provide for themselves, the lie that they are at the center of the universe and can control the future, the lie that their existence is in their hands and they can sustain themselves apart from God. And if they start believing all of those lies, who gets the credit for all these blessings? Well, you know who gets the blessing. The credit, it's not God. It's them. In 1931, a man by the name of James Truslow Adams coined a phrase that we have all heard. And the phrase is the American dream. In 1931, he spoke of it as a dream in which each man and each woman shall be able to attain the fullest stature of which they are innately capable and be recognized by others for what they are. Is there anything wrong with the American dream, with that picture? On first glance, we would say, no. Certainly here in Iowa, in a farm community, we believe in hard work. We believe in personal responsibility. We believe in high aspirations and the freedom to pursue those goals. But the problem comes in right here, where we believe that it is our work, our aspirations, that our greatest asset is our ability, which opens up the door to what? To leave God out and to forget Him. And the American dream, though seems and sounds so well, can easily lead and foster pride. When we step away from our accomplishments and somehow believe that it happened, this business was built, this was done, whatever it might be, it was done because of our creativity, our hard work, our intellect, our financial savvy, our common sense, our ability. And if you don't mind, let me just go back a couple hundred years ago to, I just had it here. Let me find it real quick. What did I do with that? I wanted to just, you know what? I apologize. I wanted you to read to you, and it's here it is, what old Abe said. We've been the recipients of choices. Bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. Do you know where the next part goes? We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And here it is. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our heart that all of these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Isn't that exactly what we've seen transpire in our nation? When we forget the work of God in our lives, we start believing lies. We leave the Word of God behind. The Word of God is no longer a part of our lives. We don't have the Word of God to filter our thinking, our reasoning through, and before we know, we start believing these lies. I wanted to take time, but I won't this morning, just how foundational the Bible was in our schools. I was going to read you a Supreme Court ruling of the United States of America about the importance of the Bible in our schools. Let me just read what Martin Luther said. I am so much afraid that schools will prove to be great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution which men are not increasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. You see, when we forget the Word of God, the work of God in our life, and we start believing the lie that somehow it's our power, our ability, our ingenuity, our savvy, we leave the Word of God and we set it apart in our life. I don't know, you've been saddened. Again, I'm not trying to depress us, but I'm just trying to show the reality. You saw, as I saw, after the Supreme Court ruling here a week or so ago, you saw, I don't know what city it was, but you saw them taking the Bible and they were playing soccer with the Bible. And I don't know how long it went on, but just back and forth, this Bible like you have in your hand, just all scruffed up. It was a soccer ball. That's the extent to which our country considers the Word of God. I mean, when was the last time you heard someone in the mainstream media said, in the midst of all of the issues of our nation, well, let's just consider for a moment what the Bible has to say about marriage, or what does the Bible have to say about gender roles, or what does the Bible have to say about the value and the sanctity of human life, or what does the Bible have to say about justice, or what does the Bible have to say about ecology? But again, forgetting God and believing lies, leaving the Bible out of our lives, is not only a danger for nations, it's a danger for us. Jeremiah wrote this, "This is your lot, the portion I have measured out to you, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in lies." You see, the Word of God slowly becomes less important in our lives. It becomes less authoritative in our lives, less sufficient. So gradually, and even amongst the Christian community, because we are just bombarded, some with their television screens, some with the internet, day after day after day. And so many Christians are so concerned and get so bent out of whack that we've taken the Bible out of schools. And some denominations have taken the Bible out of their churches. But there are a lot of born-again Christians who have taken the Bible out of their lives. Not only the daily immersing yourself in the Word of God, but just in the reasoning, the rationalization, and the filtering through of life, slowly but subtly, the world's philosophy has overtaken us. How do we forget God? We forget His works. We start believing lies, but look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 19. And he says, "And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish." Just real quick, go look at Deuteronomy 6. In verse 14, "You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you." Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 3 and 4. "You shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons, for they would turn away your sons from following me to do what? To serve other gods." Here's the third way in which Moses warns them about forgetting God. And it's by going after other lovers. God has made us worshiping beings. The question this morning is the question is not, are you a worshiping being? Not, are you a worshiper? We are all worshipers. Everyone is worshiping something this morning. Driving to church this morning, I saw this guy pull up along the river and his pickup and got out all of his fishing gear. That's what he's worshiping this morning. Everybody is worshiping something. Everybody is giving their love and their affection. We are desirous beings, giving that to something or to someone this morning. The question is, what and whom are you worshiping? And when a nation forgets the works of God and lays aside the Word of God Something will arise to fill that void. Jeremiah said like this, "Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate. Desolate, declares the Lord, for my people. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that hold no water." Hosea said it like this, "And I will punish her for the feast days of the Baals, when she burned offerings to them and adorned herself with her ring and jewelry and went after her lovers and forgot me, declares the Lord." What are the gods of our country? What are the lovers of our country? Well, we've mentioned them earlier: entertainment, money, sports, sex, comfort, ease, health. John Stone Street said it rightly at a Cedar Falls Bible conference. The number one God he thought in America today is safety. God, through Ezekiel, describes Israel's lovers' idolatry as whoring. We've seen it in our nation. Spiritual formation of children, having your child go to Sunday school and learning about God and learning the Bible at one time was of great value and of high importance in the lives of many parents. But it's no longer. We see it in church attendances dropping off. We see it in the respect for the Lord's Day. Our nation doesn't deem those things important because they have whored after other gods who now demand their time, energy, attention, affections, and money. But again, lest we Christians get too proud and smug and pray down judgment on those around us who have forgotten God by going after other lovers, how about us? Now think about it for a second. What are the loves of your life? Again, some Christians want judgment to begin in the White House. But the Bible's clear. Judgment always begins where? At the house of God. Dane Ortlund said this: "We should acknowledge that our hearts will latch onto anything in this world short of God Himself, and will seek to draw strength from the created things instead of the Creator and His love." Our hearts grieve when we watch monuments like the Ten Commandments torn down from government buildings, but do we consider when we turn from God and we worship the idols of our hearts that we whore after, we lust after, we desire, and is evident in our time, affection, and our money? Somebody said it right. We ask the gifts to be the giver. Well, lastly and quickly, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 15. Notice what he says. If you do this, you forget me. Verse 15, he says, "You shall not go after other gods." Verse 14, he says, in verse 15, "For the Lord your God is in your midst. He is what? He's a jealous God. Lest the hand of the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and what? And he destroy you off from the face of the earth." He said the same thing in Deuteronomy 8, 19, and 20. And the question is, did this happen? Yes, it happened. Some of you in our Bible reading, we just finished the book of Ezekiel. They were exiled to another nation. Why did it happen? They'd forgotten God. They were satisfied with the temporal needs of the hour. These warnings had no effect on their lives. They got so consumed enjoying the gifts. Hosea said it like this, "But when they had grazed, they became full, they were filled, and their hearts were lifted up, and therefore they forgot me." They lived with no fear of God. They lived with no thought of the judgment of God and the day in which they would stand before God. They were living for this just little bitty time frame that we have here on this earth, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it might be. They had no thought of eternity and the years and years and years, the eternality of our souls. They were satisfied with the temporary needs of the moment. And as a result, God brought judgment. And as God backed up the dump truck, so to speak, and poured out His blessing on the nation, God in many respects backed up the truck again and started piling them all back in. Romans chapter 1, as you know, says God gave them up. God allowed them to sin. God allowed them to forget Him. But there was great consequence to that. And God pile all the blessings back in. And he piled all the blessings back in because what God wants more than anything, he's a jealous God. He loves me so much that he wants me to find the greatest pleasure and joy, and that is in him and him alone. And he will do anything in my life and in your life to pull me back to him when I drift and wander away from him. And so he sends them to exile for 70 years again, so that they would know, so they would know, so they would know that he alone is Lord, the fullness of joy and pleasure alone. You have to wonder, and I have to wonder this morning, if God is backing up the truck here in America. As in the process of piling all of the blessings on this land back in it. Because collectively as a nation, we have forgotten God. All of these material blessings in which people around us this morning are relicking in and will relic throughout this weekend, living in the moment of the pleasure of whatever it is, but no fear of God and no thought of the day of judgment. Let me finish what Abe said. He said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and powers. No other nation has grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched us and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sin, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. This moves us right into the table this morning. Because we come here because we are forgetters, are we not? We forget the first love in our marriage unions. We forget the love of that first child that entered our home and all that joy. And we forget the miraculous work of God in taking us guilty sinners